Hello, I'm your host, Claudia Shambaugh, welcoming you to the October 20, 2015 edition of Ask a Leader. We'll devote the whole hour to Fran Solomon, founder and president of Heal Grief, an enterprise and a domain supporting the bereaved. In a world dominated by virtual conversation, Ms. Solomon can share ways to personalize condolences and help alleviate grief that may go beyond a one-click response. Valuable insight for social media-centric Southern Californians. Heal Grief is a website that is free, and it's an opportunity to take stock away from the madding crowds of the usual social network outlets. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Thank you for staying with us. Welcome back to the show. My guest for the whole hour is Fran Solomon. She is the founder and president of Heal Grief, a virtual forum about dealing with the complex process of losing a loved one. If you have cringed to see your loved one's bereavement posting alongside a photo of someone's mouth-watering waffle or worse, Fran has a way out of those kind of choices, that those unsavory moments. With the inevitability of all of us losing someone near and dear, and the next likely inevitability of someone reacting to that loss via social media, we have on our hands a ripe case of the need for etiquette for condolences in the social era. For answers, we'll turn today to Los Angeles-based philanthropist and grief expression advocate Fran Solomon. As founder and president of nonprofit web-based grief platform HealGrief.org, she can provide insight into this perplexing contemporary issue. Fran Solomon is a member of the Cedars-Sinai Board of Governors and was board member and past chair for Our House Grief Support Center, a community-based agency located in L.A. Amidst this work, she understood that communities are no longer geographically determined. She leapt into business herself after finishing high school at an accelerated program at 16, and from age 17, she started Video Concepts, Inc., and grew it into three office businesses. So she was president of CEO of Grupo Intermoda LTD and importer of intimate apparel. I guess intimate is the business she stayed in. From intimate, what you wear underneath, to intimate aspect of grief. Fran Solomon comes to us today from Los Angeles. Welcome to the show, Fran Solomon.
Thank you so much, Claudia, and I'm thrilled to be with you and your listeners.
Well, you have worked from inside of this, from the inside, and what truly was it, Fran, that led you into this kind of service, meeting this kind of delicate need?
Claudia, I was looking for something that was a very tangible cause, something that I could actually see results with, and I was introduced to Our House Grief Support Center over a decade ago and was just so captivated with the reality that everyone dies and no one addresses it. And I felt so compelled to their cause and their mission, I got involved as a facilitator and group leader for underserved communities in high schools. And through my tenure with Our House, I ended up, as you said, on the board and chairing the board for over 3 years. And in that capacity, I would get calls from people all over the country saying, Fran, so-and-so died, what do I do? So-and-so died, what do we say? Fran, their kids are having a lot of problems. They live in Oklahoma. Where can they go for help? And Claudia, as an insider, it was mind-boggling to me the amount of research I had to personally put in to ferret out local resources. And it was really after an accumulation of failed efforts to find resources for bereaved individuals that I realized there needed to be a place, an easy place, where people can go and find the resources needed. There are so many resources available for so many causes, but death and grief for something that is such an inevitable life cycle, nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody knows where to begin to find the resources to help through grief's journey. And that was truly the inspiration behind Heal Grief. We are the go-to place to find grief resources, both nationally and locally, all in one easy-to-find place. And then it morphed into so much more. It became a place where individuals can come and celebrate a loved one's life. It became informative and educational for individuals who want to understand about grief, and not just grief, but as it is age and death specific, and the different processes an adult might go through versus a child. So it has morphed into this all-in-one place, the go-to place, from the moment a loved one dies.
Fran, let's give you a little credit here. So people were going to you a great deal before you were involved in some of these very special enterprises. So why were they going to you, of all people?
Well, they knew of my involvement with Our House Grief
Okay,
Support
from
Center.
There, that's at the point where they were approaching you. So
exactly.
And it wasn't a personal, was there a personal sort of story behind why you wanted to join this other group originally? Something that helps us understand is what made this such an important endeavor?
Claudia, my dad died in 98, and I was in my mid-30s, and I was in my career, and I was very practical about his death. He lived an old man. He died a good life. He died of natural causes. It's part of life. I was so practical about it. I suppressed my own grief because, for me, well, it's the way it's supposed to be. Why should I grieve? I understand this. It was intellectual to me. Years later, any time I had heard of anyone being imminently ill or having died, I would become so emotional. And it was actually through my introduction to Our House
right.
that I started understanding that I was truly grieving vicariously through others, and learned that grief never goes away. We just learn to manage it differently as time goes on. It is truly a journey. A decade after a loved one has died, you can smell a perfume or hear a song. And for some people, that will evoke the emotion of grief so deep as if it were only a moment ago.
I'll vouch for that. Yeah.
So that's why Heal Grief believes and advocates that grief doesn't go away. It is a journey, and it's a journey that stays with us through our lives. We just manage it differently.
And I want for listeners to keep in mind that we're talking about losing a loved one, and we're also, this is all a way of addressing how we want to have ourselves presented, connected, and that kind of a thing. So there's sort of a multi-generational, multi-phase kind of consideration as we talk about this. Heal Grief, it's organized around a 501c3 nonprofit. So I understand, Fran, your intention is that you're able to offer all of these services for free.
Yes, we start by taking the place of the traditional obituary. For any of your listeners that have ever had a loved one die and were faced with the financial burden of having to write an obituary in publications, the cost can be prohibitive. It's based on how many lines, if you want to include a picture, and personally, I happen to find it very repulsive that one would have to pay for an ad to notify loved ones.
Well, but that we're calling it an ad is kind of strange, too.
It is an ad. You're paying for it.
Yeah.
You are paying for an ad. So I really find that personally offensive. So from the moment a loved one dies, Heal Grief redefines the way individuals are notified of a loved one's death. One can go right online and create an obituary. And to take a step back for a moment,
yes.
Most people don't even know how to write an obituary.
Right.
On Heal Grief, we give an instructional guideline of things that you want to have handy when you start to create an obituary. And if users choose to create an online obituary, there is a template that offers all the information with very thought-provoking questions so that a user can really fill in the blanks very specific to their feelings and their loved ones. Once that obituary is published online, there's a button right within the memorial that you can click and send it out around the world to family and friends that need to be notified of the loved one's death. Community is no longer defined by geography.
Right. So how does that work? How does that send it out? Where does it end up?
It ends up in your own email. We are not miners of data.
Okay, that was an important question I was going to ask.
Yes, we do not mine data. It is clicking the link, and it automatically gives a prompt into your own email. The prompt can be edited. It has the link to the memorial. So you can then send it to your family and friends that you want to have notified. Once that's received and the link is clicked, individuals can immediately start sharing thoughts, expressing condolences, uploading photographs, light virtual candles. And when any of these actions happened, the user that created the memorial has an option to be notified. So it's letting the family know that all these sentiments and expressions are coming in memory of their loved one.
Well, that is a huge service because whether or not there is a sudden death of a loved one, there are innumerable details to attend to, and one is in a position of trying to do everything as close to perfectly or correctly as possible. And so I don't know, it's part of the theme running throughout the Heal Grief that there aren't really any rules. It's what works for you kind of assuaging.
Absolutely. Grief is very individual, and how you want to express your grief and share your grief is very individual. We're providing the platform that allows individuals to do it. And when I say platform, people have used and continue to use Facebook as a way to notify family and friends.
Right, the go-to place for
exactly.
Postings.
And for many, that's fine. But I ask your listeners, do you want such an emotional, personal post showing up next to a picture of someone's food? And I want to ask your listeners, do you want everybody to know about your personal grief?
That is such an important point.
And then have the appropriate parties been notified first prior to your post?
Right. So some structure for the bereaved and some boundaries about how that gets out. Because that's one of those complex aspects of grief is how people respond to you in grief, and you offer in many of the, we'll get into some of those sections, but you offer some suggestions to people encountering somebody in grief what are some useful kinds of primers to go by. So, well, for those of you, if you've just joined us, my guest is Fran Solomon, founder and president of Heal Grief, a website and a forum dealing with the intricacies of grief here on Ask a Leader and streaming on the web here at KUCI.org. So let's talk about planning. It's not just a business-like approach to death. That this, as I was mentioning a little bit earlier, it has its merits in getting family members, close friends on board with making death a natural, inevitable process or dealing with that. It's getting a lot accomplished, and I'm not sure if you're working on this website, if you're getting some kind of testimonial evidence that people are given a chance with that platform to start putting together something to take the kind of last minute frenzy of addressing the loss immediately. If that planning is another sort of remarkable benefit that you have to offer.
We are in the process of further developing a section of the Heal Grief website called Designing Your Own Goodbyes. And it is specifically targeted to all of us who are alive. And when I say all of us, I want to emphasize death is not only for the old. Death can happen for the young spouse. It can happen for the child who's lost a parent. It doesn't only apply to old people. And as soon as we start talking about it and having the conversation, it takes the taboo out of death and dying. We live in a culture where people don't want to talk about it. And we are saying it is a life event and a life cycle that is inevitable. We celebrate birth. We celebrate birthdays. We celebrate anniversaries. Why wouldn't we celebrate a life once lived? So we are creating this where individuals can be, to make it thought-provoking for individuals to start designing their own goodbyes, having the conversation, and what is it in their life that they want people to remember when they are called to honor you? I'm sorry, I went through
You also,
there's so much to the conversation.
There is. We're going to do it all, we hope. We can do as much as anybody could. And you have in there also the other work in progress is your section, End of Life, Let's Talk Death. That's also a work in progress. How interactive is the website in real functioning time? I can't tell when I look on whether, what people are gathering from other examples and that kind of a thing. But how interactive is this?
The site is interactive from the perspective that you can you can create the memorials, you can create the obituaries, you can upload the photographs, express condolences, light virtual candles. All these can be shared on various platforms, social media platforms. The end of life section is thought-provoking. It is not a functionality section of the site, at least not as of this time. We're trying to create the conversation. We want people to start thinking about we want people to design their own goodbyes. Do you want to be cremated? Do you want to be buried? Do you have someone specific you want to have deliver your eulogy? Is there something you want them to say about you, to remember about you? What about your social media? Where are your passwords? Who's controlling them? Do you want to keep them up? There are people that are deceased, and they still have social media streaming online.
Oh, my goodness.
For some,
yes.
That's fine. For others, maybe they don't want it.
Well, a few of us have gotten a cherished colleague at UCI. Some of us have gotten Facebook requests from her posthumously. And so I don't know if that's a family member that's trying to reach everybody to encourage them to post things on her website. I'm not sure what's going on there, but it was pretty uncalled for, I thought.
So it is. And what does the decedent, what do you want to have done with your things?
Right. Yeah.
And how do you want your funeral to be? How do you want a funeral? what songs do you want? What songs don't you want? We have a family that we've spoken to, and we received some wonderful feedback. Mm-hmm. They are Jewish, and they were starting the conversation. And she is, I want to say, about 15 or 20 years younger than her husband. So in the natural course of life, the assumption is she will outlive him. And she always thought that for his after-funeral gathering, they would have bagels and lox and all the traditional Jewish food.
Okay.
And we got feedback. Thank you so much. I found out my husband wants a Chinese spread.
Okay. He's not going to wait for Christmas. He'll just have his own.
No. But the irony about that is if it happens in the natural course of life, she's going to look at that Chinese spread and she's going to have a smile on her face.
Right. Yeah, it's a gift. Well, and I think as we're talking about this inevitability, I think this planning, it all starts, doesn't it, Fran, with just first you bring it up. You just with your, let's say your, whom you consider going to be your successors, you just bring it up. You don't say that this is my definitive plan. You just start bringing it up so that as you can get into more of the weeds of what you really want done, it becomes more natural and the listeners are more receptive and you get into some real groundbreaking, some real definitive kinds of arrangements.
Absolutely. And it is never too early.
No.
And sometimes it can be too late. You want to have that conversation. You want to have it with family and friends. You know, there's a movement that's coming out of, I want to say, London. It's called Death Cafe that is sweeping the country right now. And these death cafes are held in either someone's home or a cafe or at a gathering, and the sole purpose is to talk about death and planning and things that you're thinking about that you were afraid to ask. A conversation about something we don't want to talk about, and it's becoming so natural.
I do know that there is a death cafe, at least one in sort of the central L.A., West L.A. area. I don't know exactly how you get there, but I know they're in the area. So it's that might. Well, I'm thinking of a couple of tabs here. I don't know if is there a Shiva section somewhere on Heal Grief, sort of a virtual Shiva?
What we have on Heal Grief is a section that we have a hospice section.
Yes.
For those families that are looking to have their loved ones assisted through the end-of-life process. We have on here, because there are so many cultures, we're a melting pot of cultures, and people want to be respectful when they honor family and friends. We have a section about funeral traditions, some that are traditional traditions and then non-traditional, and ways to memorialize loved ones. There are so many ways available that are, again, traditional and non-traditional ways of memorializing and remembering loved ones.
And you have so many, on About Grief, you cover grieving every conceivable kind of relationship, or including and situations, grieving death of the child, the spouse, the parent, the sibling, the friend, and grieving the death by suicide, and then just for seniors. It's quite comprehensive. Well, let's talk about some of the points that you offer here. There's the three-step etiquette for expressing condolences on social media. Can you lead us through a little tutorial, Fran, on that?
On social media, I guess that depends whether you want to be looking at a Facebook or a Twitter or a virtual site such as Heal Grief. I know that Facebook has an empathy button I don't know if that's activated yet, where it's similar to a like button. If you want to express your empathy, you click the button. they're creating that because, you know, do you want to like a post that talks about someone's grief and that someone died? So instead, it's an empathy button. Yes, I have empathy for you.
Well,
personally,
yeah.
I like to go back and heal grief encourages bringing it to a place that provides for it. And there, it is never obsolete to write a condolence card. It is never obsolete to pick up the phone and say, I heard, what can I do for you? It is never obsolete to light virtual candles or light candles in memory of and let them know that their loved one is being thought of. So there are a host of ways, but we do discourage the initial mention or information to be exploited on a platform that is not specific.
Yes, that could really
to grief.
I can yes, the algorithms would certainly adjust what kinds of things you'll be sent when you post something like this. It's so then another. You talked about the role of the empathy button, and you talk about in one of your tabs about grief. What are some of the do's and don'ts about where a place the open end? This is one thing it's actually my mother taught me. I guess this is a moment here I want to pass this on. She said, don't ever offer, it is unbecoming, it is unuseful to offer the open-ended help. That it's always better advised to offer specific things. An open-ended offer is making the bereaved make more choices. And they've already had gone through enough of that struggle as it is. So that was one aspect. But you have so many things to talk about. What is an appropriate way to approach someone in grief?
You know, people will often, out of kindness,
yes,
say, I know what you're going
Ugh.
Through. I know how you feel. Well, we want to share with your listeners that no two grief no two bereaved are alike, and their grief is very, very individual, and it depends on the relationship. Two people may have
right.
had a mother died. One may have had a very tumultuous relationship with their mother and have unresolved conflict in that death, whereas the other one may have had a very loving and very open relationship with their mother, and the closure was very peaceful. So you don't know how someone feels. Another cliche is you shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be feeling that way. Well,
yeah. Who's to say?
Who's to judge how one should be feeling? We encourage people to say, I don't know how you feel, but I'm here for you.
I'm thinking of you.
I'm thinking of you. Let me bring you dinner tonight, rather than, to your point, Claudia, the question, what can I get for you?
I mean, really, it's harrowing to have put them through another situation of having to make more pull a decision from out of the hat. It's sort of like, yes, up or down. Yes, I'd like dinner. I'd like dinner maybe 2 days from now. I'd like somebody to drive me to this place, or I need something very very specific. So that's yes or no, and then they can go about their grieving.
Let me offer you some cliches.
Oh, let's do those.
These are the cliches that you don't want to use. Everything happens for a reason.
Oh, my God.
Nobody wants to hear that. He's in a better place now. Well, no, his better place was here with me. Thank goodness you're young. You can still have more children or remarry.
Yeah.
These are things, Claudia, that our users have told us they hear. It was meant to be. you are so strong. I could never handle this.
I know. That's an imposition that you're supposed to be strong, that people are expecting you to be strong. People expecting you to keep the stiff upper lip and that kind of thing. It's very imposing.
I love these last two.
Yeah.
You need to move on or you'll get over it in time. Grief is a journey. People will not get over it. They will manage it. For as long as someone is alive, and this is not a bad thing, it really is an indication of how much you've loved. We will not get over it. The memories will remain with us, whether we speak of them or not, and emotions will be evoked. And if anything else that your listeners are left with, I hope this will allow any of them who have ever been bereaved permission.
Yes.
To grieve, even if it's 10 years later or 15 years later. We want to offer your users, your listeners, permission to grieve.
Your users, my listeners, right?
Yes.
Permission to grieve. And, you know, one of the best bits of advice, knowing sorts of insights, was there are no rules.
There are no rules, and we advocate no judgment. Someone may be extremely emotional, and triggers will evoke the emotion of tears. And others may be more held back, concealed, but that doesn't mean they're grieving any less. So we offer the advice not to pass judgment. We've heard of so many sibling fights. Oh, well, you didn't love because you're not crying. And it has torn so many families apart. When in fact, they too have loved so much. They're just processing and grieving differently. Please don't judge someone's grief. Please don't expect someone to get over it or move on. You know, one of the things, Claudia, that I'd really like to shed
yes.
light on is that there is, at least to our knowledge, no required bereavement leave. That agencies or companies, unless they provide a bereavement clause, most people are expected to come back to work the Monday after the funeral unless the boss says, take another week. How is one, perhaps after the death of a child or a spouse, who may also be an income earner to the lifestyle of the family, put their lives together in a week or two and go back to work?
Well, I remember when Amazon had the big expose from the New York Times, that was one of the work culture criticisms of the company, is that people went through all kinds of things, including bereavement, and they didn't feel like they could take a breath. They had to just keep, you know, sucking it up and providing there at the workplace. I know some people feel like it's a good thing to go back to work, so they have a great capacity to compartmentalize. And that's where there aren't rules. Some people may need to plunge themselves into that, but others need to take a breath away from that. And the rawness of grief may not be very conducive to be at the workplace. So it's there's so many aspects to that. I'm glad. And I just
and
wanna,
we're not suggesting one over the other.
Right. Yeah. We said no rules. We meant it.
But for those that need the break to get their lives in order, really are at risk with their careers.
Yeah. That's the problem. No leave. Well, maybe there's an advocacy tab there for on your field grade.
Unfortunately, as a 501c3 our status, we cannot advocate. But just having your listeners aware of how sensitive individuals may be when they're required to come back to work is a good message that I'd like to pass on.
If you've just joined us, my guest for this whole hour is Fran Solomon. She's the founder and the president of Heal Grief, which we're talking about this website, and it's a forum dealing with the intricacies of grief and all the nuances. There are so many resources that are on this, places to go for different kinds of services. There's events. You can click on a tab for your state, and there will be all the hospices, or an array of, they're not, it's not exhaustive, I know that, but all the many hospices in your area and around the state. There are events that are for different audiences that you can go to for the, there's an example that I'm looking here, the Camp Aaron. There's a comfort zone camp for children whom are grieving. Camp Aaron, there's a number given. And there must be other groups, too, that you just keep adding to those lists all the time.
Yes, Claudia, you know, it's interesting. Most people are not aware of these resources even after it's been months or years after someone has died. I personally know of a family who had a son die and left two young children, and 3 or 4 years after the fact, I was talking about these camps that are available for children, and they had no idea. So just to spotlight for your listeners, for anyone that knows of children that are bereaved, and I say children, I think from the age of about 5 years old or 6 to 17, there are bereavement camps throughout the United States and even extend outside of our borders, where these camps are offered at times free of charge or on a sliding scale. And kids go and are with other kids that have experienced a similar grief, because one of the things that we've found is that children feel very, very isolated when they have a parent or a loved one die. They don't want to talk about it. They find that friends don't get it. We even heard of one friend saying, "Oh, come to the party, you'll get over it," referring to her father's death.
My.
And it's not with the intent of being mean or hurtful. It's because people are naive and they don't understand it. And that's why we do advocate education about grief and how to support individuals that are bereaved. So these camps are usually weekend camps, and they are facilitated by licensed clinicians and volunteers. And these kids not only bond with others that get it, they have lifetime memories, and they are put on a track to a healthy grief recovery with activities and crafts and ways to remember and memorialize their loved one.
What a remarkable...
I'd like to share a quick story
with
your listeners.
Please.
Two girls, one from the underserved community, coming to camp with a trash bag of her essentials, and another one getting off the bus with two Louis Vuitton rolling backpacks.
Oh, my word.
By the end of camp, both girls left with one backpack.
Oh, my word.
At these camps, there are no differences. All the kids are bound by grief.
A gift that just is continuous for them. What a remarkable thing. I'm so glad we have a chance
changing.
To... Oh, my goodness.
Life-changing, altering, a wonderful, wonderful experience.
So that one can go to a number I can just offer now. It's for Camp Aaron, and find out more about that. It's 714-884-8714. But there are more details on the website that can direct you to those, maybe some other places that are closer to listeners somewhere else.
Correct. And other camps. There's Camp Comfort Zone in your listeners' area as well. I mean, there are so many wonderful resources. There are also camps and workshops for adults.
Yes, right. I want to give you a chance to talk about a function you also serve. It's the celebrity and the global grief rituals. You take up high-profile losses like the Sandy Hook shootings, the ever-recurring, and I'm adding that, there's the ever-recurring mass shootings, Hurricane Sandy, violence against high-profile women. You offer some forum for people to take that up communally. How does that work?
Correct. Studies show that the journey of grief is supported when you have community. And we have found that, for example, when the tragic early departure of Joan Rivers, people wanted to express their condolences. They wanted to go to a place where they could honor her life and be part of a community. Sandy Hook Elementary School massacre, that struck the world. People needed to express their grief. It was so personal to everyone. They needed a place, and we provided it. We had people come and light virtual candles in memory of those children and those teachers. For Joan Rivers, for Robin Williams, their fans, they wanted to come and light candles and talk about memories and how they were part of the person's childhood. So, yes, we are taking those public events where people want to feel and heal as a community, an opportunity to express themselves.
Very remarkable. Well, there are other works in progress that's going on there, and I don't know if have you benefited from what some user has suggested. Does that interactive piece work for you? Is it?
We have a feedback section on the website,
yes.
And the evolution of the site has really been inspired by our users and the feedback we receive. And as a matter of fact, behind the scenes, we're giving Heal Grief a virtual facelift. So we're very excited about that, and we hope that we will have our facelift visual the beginning of 2016.
Okay.
But yes, feedback is very important to us. We want to know what people want to see on our website. One of the things that we actually get quite a bit of feedback on, we have the memorials and the obituaries,
yes,
set up so that in remembrance of their loved one on every birthday and on every anniversary of death, a candle is lit. And if the user chooses to be notified, they will get a notification that their loved one has been remembered. We often get feedback on that. I can't believe you remembered, and thank you so much, and I'm going to share that with my family members, and then all of a sudden we'll see so many candles being lit for their loved one. It's a pretty remarkable thing what a virtual entity can do and how it can provide comfort. So it's pretty neat. We smile a lot at the work we're doing.
Well, so how long do these postings last on there? Like you'll light the candle on that day, so it's sort of for the day, or how long do the memorials last on the website?
They don't expire. We don't believe in coming back to our users and asking them if they want to continue the memorial with a fee. There are no fees. And they will not expire. They continue. They go to the back of the line, but they continue to exist. just as one continues to exist in the heart and memory of others. Claudia, I'd like to share some exciting things that you won't find on the website, programs that we're looking to implement in 2016. One program is targeted to families that have become financially burdened due to the death of a primary income earner. And these will be what we're calling time-out gifts. So an example, perhaps a family would go to Disneyland every year, and they can no longer afford to do that. The father had died, or whomever the primary income earner was, and they can no longer afford to do that. Heal Grief would like to offer the family a time-out trip to Disneyland.
Wow.
So these are types of programs. And it may not be specific to Disneyland. It may
right,
be
I understand.
Essential needs.
Right.
Heal Grief has a small reserve at this particular point that we are in the midst of talking with key funders to assist us with this program and hope to roll that out. And another program that we're working on is targeted specifically to those in the underserved community who have had a tragic and unexpected death of a loved one, where Heal Grief will assist in the costs of funeral expenses so that they too can bury their loved ones with dignity and not be concerned of the extra burden of the cost. So we're very excited about these two programs that we expect to be rolling out.
Well, I do honor that you're recognizing there are all sectors that are in great need, and the underserved, it's wonderful that you're incorporating that and adamantly there. Now, you mentioned in the very beginning, let's make it, maybe this is the last thing we can cover here, is that you acknowledge there are multicultural backgrounds to approaching grief. So is there a way that we can get an appreciation of some of the do's and don'ts interculturally speaking?
Yes, there's a section of the website specifically meant for that called Funeral Traditions. And in there it gives a brief description of things that particular culture does or does not do in the event of a death and for the funeral and how to pay respects. And sometimes what to wear or what color to wear is very important to some cultures. So we do have that on the site, and we feel it's very important to know when you're honoring someone who has died.
Well, I'm looking for the tab. I'm not finding it. Where is the funeral traditions?
And I see tab
the role of funeral
homes under the resources section.
Got it. Okay.
And if you look there, the role of funeral homes, there is a tab that comes out, funeral traditions. And also in the end of life section under funeral planning.
Okay. So this, it's really a remarkable resource that keeps on expanding. You mentioned those two programs envisioned for 2016 to be rolled out. Are there any additional ones as we close the show?
No, we can look forward to a multilingual version of the site.
Ah.
Again, we believe that geography and community are two very different things, and we certainly want to alleviate the language
barrier
boundary.
There. Yes. Which languages were you going to cover? What versions?
The first translation we look to would probably be Spanish.
Okay. And perhaps others?
Yes. We're looking for a multilingual site. We are 501c3, so things sometimes don't happen as quickly as we'd like them to. Depends on our resources at the moment.
Of course.
But, yes, Spanish will be the first language that we will look to have the site fully translated into.
And I'll let you say it, or I'll say it, that this abundant resource is available on the website. It's Heal Grief, all in one word, .org. And that's where you can find out how to use it, what there is there for you, and you can even find out how you can contribute financially speaking besides programmatically. So
thank you so much. And all donations are 100% tax deductible for your listeners.
Well, Fran Salmon, it's been a real pleasure to mine this very intimate space with you on the show today. Thank you for being on Ask a Leader.
Thank you so much, Claudia, and thank you to your listeners.
My guest, this was Fran Salmon. She is the founder and president of Heal Grief, a website and forum dealing with the intricacies of grief. I just wanted to play this piece going out with its Brahms German Requiem. It will be performed by the Pacific Chorale on November 1st at the Segerstrom Hall. So have a listen while we head out in the show here. There will be probably a tribute with the Pacific Chorale program for founding member Jim Dunning, whom we lost last month. I paid stock about a month ago, and some of you may have heard that. Next on Ask a Leader next week, we're going to look slowly at the certain decline infrastructure in America with UCI economist Daniel Bogart to take up why and how addressing this immense infrastructure backlog during the Great Recession is essential now. And if we make you mad about why the succinct solution isn't underway already, we've done our job. Well, this is my wrap. Talk with you next week. Thank you, everyone, for listening.